We are in a series titled Growth of the Church. This is part four today, and we've been talking about how God can cause things to grow when we give him that opportunity and let him go before us. The title of today's message is this. We're going to talk about what food fuels your life. What food really gives you energy for you to live? We're going to talk about that today. And our text is from John chapter 4, verse 31 to 38. And there's just two verses in here we're going to read in a moment. But here's a key thought. Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. There was a racial divide at that time between Jewish people and the Samaritans, but he crossed over it. You know why? He loves all people. He would not let a different or a racial issue divide him from extending grace to people. And so he has this connection with this woman at the well, and she gives him a cup of water, and he says to her, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for water, and you would never thirst again. He went on to tell this woman that she had five husbands. The man she was with was not her current husband. And he just spoke into her life. It had to just shake her to the core, because nobody would have known that except her. This is a stranger to her. So she knew he was a prophet. But here's what happened. As she talked with Jesus, something clicked inside her. And she knew that she was looking for love in all the wrong places. It just, life wasn't working out. And when she talked with Jesus, she knew something was different, and she eventually found the water of life. Here's the other part of the story. She went back to her hometown. She was the woman with the checkered past. And she began to tell her story about, hey, this guy told me all about my life, and I'm different now, and she found Christ. And it says many people believe because of the woman's testimony. You see, you've got a story in your life. We're all different. But many people can believe because of your life story. Next Sunday, I want you to know, we're going to talk about verse 39 in John chapter 4, and we're going to talk about how God can take your story, whatever it is, and literally influence other people that they can come to faith. So that's next Sunday. But today, we're talking about what food fuels your life. Read with me the two verses in your notes on the sermon listening guide. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Amazing story. The disciples are concerned that Jesus is overdoing it and neglecting eating properly. Now, isn't that like a good parent to... Are you eating the right stuff? Are you eating frequent enough? And so, out of a concern, they said, Rabbi, Jesus, eat something. And he says this, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. That's our anchor verse today. Jesus said, I have something to eat that you don't have a clue about. And today I want us to unpack what food fuels your life. Now, I've got six pictures I want to show you about food. Here's the first one. Some people like veggies. Are there any veggie lovers here? Okay. All right. Very good. Some people just love veggies. They're healthy. They're good for you and so forth. Well, here's another one. Do we have any burger? Oh, burger people. And fries and pizza. I mean, is that you? Do you like, is that good food to you? Hey, in the morning service, the people that really, they were raising their hands like crazy over here. I mean, it wasn't just one kind of food, it was all kinds. So here's another picture. We got any fruit lovers here? We got people raising their hand over and over. I mean, they must like food. Okay, here's another one. Oh, yeah. The people over here on the left finally came to life. They woke up. They go, oh, yeah. Some people just love steak. They're meat people, right? Okay, yeah, so this is good. Well, here's another one. Some people like soda. Do we have any soda lovers here? Oh, in the back row, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Some like Pepsi. Some love Mountain Dew. Robert, Mountain Dew? No, okay. So some people love soda. Well, here's the last one. Whoa, we're getting... These people that were sleeping way back there, they put their hand up. They're engaged in the service. So, you know, they're just fun pictures. We all have different kinds of food and so forth. But we're talking today about what food really fuels your life. Now, I want us to understand we live in two different kingdoms. This is in your notes and it's also on the screen. The first kingdom is the physical kingdom. You're here today, we're in a building. It's the five senses. We see, we taste, we touch, we smell, we hear. It's the scent part of life. I mean, we live in this physical world. We have to go to the doctor if we get sick, and we have to feed our bodies. And so this is the physical kingdom. But we also live in a second kingdom. It's called a spiritual kingdom. You see, everybody here's got a soul. Everybody here's got a spirit within them. It's called life, and God put it there. And so we live in this spiritual kingdom. Now, in the spiritual kingdom, there can be a kingdom of darkness, which is Satan, the demonic forces of hell itself. There's evil in the world. It's an evil presence. And the Bible says that Satan came to kill and destroy. I mean, he just wants to mess up our life. That's the dark side. But there's a good side to the spiritual kingdom, and that's where God and Jesus come in. I mean, the Holy Spirit literally empowers us to live for the good. It's his redemption of over victory over evil. And so in this spiritual kingdom is where we want to plant our feet in our relationship with God through Christ. I mean, that's so we're living in the physical kingdom where we eat burgers and fries We also, you know, good stuff, we just eat food. But there's a spiritual kingdom we also live in too. Now, here's what I want you to do. If you got a sermon listening guide, I want you to put a percentage to the right of where it says five senses of how much time you really focus on living in the physical kingdom. I mean, It's a sense of priority to you. It's where you live your life. It's what you give yourself to. The second point is this. Under spiritual kingdom, to the right of spirit world, I want you to write a percentage of the amount of time you intentionally invest in living in the spiritual kingdom, which is your faith relationship with Christ. I mean, it's just a ballpark number. But we live in the physical body, and we also live in a spiritual kingdom. Now, here's the secret. As we journey through this message, the amount of time you and I put into the spiritual kingdom pursuits, listen, will determine what kind of food fuels your life. If we are all about number one, the physical kingdom, where we eat and sleep, and we got to do that. We don't neglect it. Life will be about the present, here and now. On the other hand, if you and I give intentional time to number two, where our priorities in our life, in our heart, are somehow anchored to what God says is important, here's what's going to happen. You and I will develop a food list that will fuel our life. How do we know that? The disciples said to Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. They're thinking about fish or bread or whatever it is, the human existence. Jesus says this, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. We're going to talk about today what that food is. Because Jesus said there's a secret, there's a deeper life, there's a sense of life satisfaction that you only get when you invest time in kingdom number two, in your relationship with God. And that becomes the food that fuels your life. If you put a lot of time into it, let me tell you, you got some great energy going. If you and I put very little time into spiritual kingdom, that second category, you know what's going to happen? We're going to default and live in the physical kingdom, and that'll be our compass for life, which can create a lot of heartache and brokenness. So I want to share with you three spiritual foods that can fuel your life. They're supernatural. They're things that everybody can reach if they want. And so let's get started. Number one, the first kind of food that can fuel our life from the supernatural is this. It's when we have committed to doing God's will. If you are all in this morning to serve God, and you want to do what pleases Him and honors Him, can I tell you, you are laying a foundation for a life that will be fulfilling and rewarding, and you'll be blessed on the inside. That is number one. Jesus said this. We'll read together with me, verses 33 and 34 in your notes. Then His disciples said to Him, "Could someone have brought Him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." So verses 29 and 30 is the food exchange. The disciples come at it a second time and they say, "Wait, did somebody bring Him something to eat? I mean, did somebody slip Him a Big Mac or a Whopper or some kind of, did somebody bring Him something to eat?" And He says this, My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." The foundation of a supernatural food-driven life is when you and I abandon to God's call in our life and say, "You know what? I want to do what the Father has called me to do in life. I want to live past the physical. I got to take care of my body, but I want to compass in my life. I want an anchor. I want something that'll focus me, and I want to do what He has called me and made me to do from my birth." In Philippians 3, Paul says this, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on." Circle those two words. Press on. "To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Do you realize if you're a believer this morning and you have Christ in your life, you're on this journey, you want to do God's will, there's a purpose He took hold of your life for. And I tell you what, if you want to get excited about life, if you want to find food that really satisfies, go after this. Paul says, "I'm going to press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me." That's my number one goal in life. And if you want food that will endure forever, you want to feel good about life, hey, when you go after the will of God, you know what it does? It simplifies life. Because your number one heart priority is to serve Him. And you say, "I submit to that." And all of a sudden, life can be more meaningful because we're pressing on to take hold of that for which He's taken hold of me. Read together with me Matthew 6:33. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus said this, seek first. You know what that is? Being committed to do His will. If your life, my life, has a priority commitment to do God's will, can I tell you, you're on your way to having food to eat that nobody else knows anything about, because you've committed yourself to Him. And Jesus says this, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." Jesus is hanging on the cross, John chapter 19. And just before He dies, He says, "It is finished." He finished His work. He did what the Father asked Him to do, which was what? To come to earth, live among men, die on a cross for the sins of mankind. And when He finished that assignment. He says, it is finished. You know what his assignment was? To die for our sins so that you and I can go to heaven. He's looking for people that he wants people to go to heaven. He loves everybody. Not everybody's going to get there. You know why? You got to receive it into your life. You got to make it a part of who you are. And Jesus said, my assignment is finished. I'm done. And in John chapter 4, he says, my food is to do the work of him, the will of God, and I will want to finish his work. And he did it. I've been reading a book titled Divine Disruption by the Evans family. Some of you will recognize these people. Dr. Tony Evans is pastor of the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. They started with about 10 people in 1976, and I think they have like over 10,000 people now, and God has really blessed it. They have over 100 different ministries. And in this book, that's Tony in the middle, Dr. Tony Evans, and that's his four children. Now, here's what the book goes into. During the last 2 years, especially when COVID happened and all that, they lost 8 family members. They died. Some were up in years, maybe expected. Others were unexpected. His wife, Dr. Tony Evans, his wife, Lois, passed away from cancer. And they had people praying all over the world, and she ended up passing away. And this book is about their journey during that 2 year season of all the grief in their life. And it's a wonderful book. There are a couple quotes in there I wanted to weave into this message. And the first one is in your notes. It says this, the further you are removed from the Lord, the more chaotic things will become. Let me stop. The more you're all in for the physical kingdom, that's what your life's about. You're away from God. I mean, this is your priority, kingdom one. The more chaotic your life is going to be. If you have great chaos in your life, it may be because God doesn't have the place he wants in your life to bless you and bring you peace and hope and joy. The writer says, the further you get from God, the more chaos there is in life. There's another quote on the backside of your sermon listening guide. I'm going to read it to you. This one's powerful. A low view of God in crisis means the crisis can own you. A high view of God says the crisis no longer has the last word. I cannot deny the circumstances, but I can refuse to give circumstances the final say. There's something everybody here in this room and those listening online knows from personal experience. And that's when the circumstances seem like they own us. That's when we feel like there's no way out. We feel in prison. We feel trapped. And the circumstances we find ourselves in just are uncomfortable and they own us. You know why? If we have a low view of who God is, the circumstances will be more powerful or look more powerful than who God is. On the other hand, if you have a high view of God, and what does that mean? That's when his grace is poured into your life. You are leaning hard into it. I mean, you may be in a tough spot, but your view of God is such that he is working it for good. He's there for me. He will not abandon me. And you lean into that, and you have a high view of God. The crisis, the circumstances won't have the last word. You can't deny what's going on, sickness, unfairness, but you can refuse to give the circumstances the final say. All of us here are in some kind of circumstances that are probably a bit uncomfortable. And I want us to grasp, if you have a high view of God, of who he is and what he can do for you, let me tell you, don't let your circumstance have the final word. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. If you want to have food that nobody else knows anything about, commit to doing the will of God and say, God, I am leaning into your grace. I'm going to let grace have the final word on my life and my circumstances as I understand who you are in relation to it. So when you and I just commit to doing God's will, I mean, we say, God, I want what you want for me. I want what's in the spiritual kingdom for Larry. I want what you called me to do. I'm going to go all in for that. It lays a foundation upon which that particular commitment becomes fuel. It's a food fuel for my life going forward. Point number two. It's interesting that as he goes through this story, he talks about first being committed to him, but then secondly, the second truth or supernatural food that can fuel our life is this. When we are engaging in the harvest of people. Now, read with me in verses 35 and 36, John chapter 4 in your notes. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Jesus starts out talking about, my food is when I do the will of the Father. And then connected to this, he starts talking about other people. He says, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to look on the fields. You know why? There's broken people all around us. I mean, people are hurting. Whether it's our home circumstances or finances or health, people are broken all over. And Jesus said, don't think it's 4 months away till the harvest. The harvest is now. The harvest is today. I read some research by George Barna. He's a researcher in America in the church world. He said there's one in four people in America are practicing Christians, 25%. In the year 2000, it was 45%. But he says one person out of four in America are practicing Christians. And so Jesus says, look to the harvest. Open your eyes. The people are there. You know, the tendency is we think that because we invite or we share and we talk and people don't seem interested, we say, oh, there must not be much of a harvest out there. Jesus said, no, you haven't got it right. He says, when you open your eyes, the people are there. You know who the people are? People that are hurting. They're broken. They're trying to figure life out. They may not even know what they're looking for. The woman at the well was a great example. She'd married to 5 guys. Didn't work out. 6th one. Wasn't her husband. Jesus said, hey, if you drink the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. It got the woman's attention. She was broken. And so being engaged in the harvest of people is very important. Now, at the beginning of the year, I said the church had 3 goals, and growth is the first one. We need to grow individually ourselves, but we need to grow numerically as well. You know why? The people are out there. And Jesus said, if you want a food that fuels your life, get engaged and involved with harvesting people. You might sow a seed of kindness, you might reap something, but it's all about being engaged or involved of bringing other people to faith in Christ. You know why? When Jesus said it's finished, it was for all, anybody and everybody. And the more people he can get to heaven, the greater satisfaction he will have, because that's what he died for. I read a story about a shoe company who sent somebody to South America. And he was a shoe salesman. And went there and kind of went out in the must have been in the trees or back in the backwoods, and he sent this message back to his boss. He says, "The task is impossible. No one in the area wears shoes." I mean, he went there to sell shoes, but he saw the people in bare feet. And he sends a message back, and he says, "Well, I'm coming home. Nobody here wears shoes." Well, unbeknownst to him, another guy had been dispatched, a salesman. He got down to the same place, saw the same people that weren't wearing shoes. And here's what he said. "Please send me as much inventory as you can. The opportunity is great. No one here has any shoes." You see, you and I can look at the same people we meet at the Big M or downtown or in the mall, wherever we're at, and we can see we have two different lenses. You know, somebody might see this, somebody else sees that. Let me tell you, Jesus said, "Open your eyes today. The harvest is ripe. The fields are widened to harvest." And he says, "I want you to know I'm all about people." And when you and I get engaged with other people to help bring them to faith in Christ, it's a soul food. There's no greater reward in life than when you take time with intentionality to share with your peers, your friends, your family, how the message of grace can help them. And Jesus said, "Hey, harvest time is now, not 4 months away." And so I want us to understand that we need to become better and better as a church and individually of sharing our story of faith with other people. That's what the woman at the well did. And you know what happened? Many people believed because of the woman's testimony, her story. You have a story. And you can help influence people in your family and in your friend network, the people you work with. You can influence them to find grace that can bring healing and hope to their hearts. That's what they're looking for. 1 out of 4 in America are only practicing Christians. That's amazing. But God is calling us individually and as a church to be engaged in the harvesting of people. And you know what happens when we do that? It becomes a food that fuels. It fuels our life because it's so exciting. It's a privilege to be a part of it. So we find in number one, you got to be committed to doing God's will. That's the foundation. Number two, get engaged in the harvesting of people. Number three, the third point I want to share is this. You and I need to live as one sent by God to bless other people. You are sent. You are on mission with God Himself to be a blessing to every person you meet. You start in your home. Brothers and sisters, parents, whoever you're living with, you become a blessing to each one of them. And then when you go to school or you go to work, you become a blessing to the people in your office. And you are sent by God. Read with me verses 37 and 38 in your notes. Live as one sent by, whoops, I'm sorry. I was reading the wrong point. Thus the saying, "One sows and another reaps" is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of others. I want you to know you are sent today. You're like a missile. You literally are. Day to day, God is sending you. And you know what he's sending you to do? To be a blessing to other people. And it says, we reap and we sow. Sometimes we sow seeds with words of kindness. Other times we reap a blessing. I mean, it's both. But understand you're sent. Here's what Jesus said in John 20, 21. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Do you want to have a food that fuels your life? If you get up in the morning and you say, "You know what, I'm sent by God to be a blessing to the people around me." You talk about excitement. Who can be the best person in your family to bless the rest of the crew? Who can be on mission and say, "Wait a minute, in my attitude, the words I speak, what I do or don't do, I'm going to just bless everybody around me"? Let me tell you, if you become a person like that, you'll become a magnet. You can have more friends than you know what to do with. You know why? People be attracted to somebody like that. You're sent by God himself to be a blessing and to make a difference. And God does that for people. Here's a picture, just simple one, sent by God. When you get up tomorrow morning, you are sent. You're on a mission to bless other people. And what happens? It becomes a fuel, a fuel that somehow powers your life. When you give your life to other people and you live unselfishly, let me tell you, there's no greater reward. It's just, there's inner satisfaction. And when you harvest and you're involved with bringing people to faith in Christ, that's so rewarding. And when you commit to doing God's will, you're all in. Can I tell you? You simplify your life and you say, well, that's what my life's about. I want what God wants for my life. Well, conclusion. Read with me verses 34 and 33 and 4 in your notes. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We want to finish the work he's given us to do. And so that becomes food to us. And in Dr. Evans' book, it says, you can simply start where you are and move forward doing the next right thing. Maybe you're in a place today where your life is a little bit chaotic. It's not what you really want it to be. You know how you change? You start by doing something simple. You do the next right thing. What is it you need to change? You know, is it getting into the Word more or praying or church or a study or sharing your faith? You do the next right thing. And when you do that, you just continue to move in that direction. It's very simple, one step at a time. Read with me Lamentations 3 in your notes. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You want to have any change in your life? We all do. Silly question. It can be done daily. You know why? His compassions are new every morning. That means when you got up today, you came to church. Listen, there's grace to make you a better person today. You get up in the morning, you're going to start over. There's grace to do it better the next day. His compassions and mercies are new every morning. So you want to have a food that fuels you? It's not what we eat and for lunch and dinner and so forth. It's when we're committed to doing God's will. We just go all in. Number two, we get engaged in the harvesting of people. That's a priority of our life in our church. We want other people to come to faith. And number three, wow, live as an individual sent by God to bless others. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I am now sending you. If you live a sent life this week, you're going to have an amazing week. You have a mindset. I want to bless the people in my home and the people I work with or run into, because God says he will bless any life with an inner food that nobody else knows anything about when we live out his agenda and principles. Let's bow for prayer. I want you to take just a few moments, heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask yourself the question, what food is fueling my life? Are you all in and committed to doing God's will? Maybe that's a starting point for all of us. Have you ever received Christ into your life? You do that by just asking him right now, just, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. Or maybe there was a time where you walked closer with him in the past. And you need to kind of re-up. You need to get up to date. Just Make that prayer of commitment right now, saying, God, here's the whole deal inside me. Just surrender it. Number two, how engaged are you as an individual in the harvest fields? In other words, day to day, the people you run into, you're mindful of what God the Father's heart would be because people are broken, and you want to drop words of life into their life to help point them or lead them to faith in Christ. So maybe your sense of commitment is saying, I need to learn how to do that better. I want to be better at that as an individual. And the third point is this. Do you view your life as being on mission with God Himself, the living God, to live a life to be a blessing to every person you meet? Say, God, help me to be that person, to love other people, especially when they're not lovable. You just make that commitment to be the best you can. Father, I just pray for every person here, everyone listening online, that you'll give us food that other people may know nothing about. A deep peace, a deep satisfaction, a deep reward, a deep fulfillment, all because we want to serve you. We want to help other people find faith. We want to live on mission, purpose-driven life every day to bless people. So, Father, just draw us to your side. And in this very moment, as the principal in the Evans book, you know, we just do the next right thing. We just one thing at a time, one decision. So make us better today because we've come to church, we've heard your word, you've spoken to our hearts, and we want to be better people and do the next right thing. And for this, we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.